We're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 9, the Damodar Lila. Damodar Man. Damodar Lila. We're in Vrindavan with Mother Yashoda. Swamatuhu. Swamatuhu means his own mother. Text 19, translation, 18. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When Child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. And purport by Srila Prabhupada reads, when Mother Yashoda and the other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments, could not be bound with all the ropes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. Thus, they gave up the idea of binding him, but in competition between Krishna and his devotee, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus, Krishna's internal energy, Yogamaya, was brought to work, and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda. That's Prabhupada's purport. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writing. Quote, as you cannot tie up his waist, even with all the ropes in the house, then it must be concluded that it is his good fortune that it should not be. Listen, Yashoda, give up this attempt. Though the village women advised in this way, Yashoda was insistent. Even if evening comes and I tie together the ropes of the whole village, I must find out just once the extent of my son's waist. If Yashoda, with the desire to do good for her son and being stubborn, would not give up her attempt to bind the Lord, then, between the Lord and the devotee's stubbornness prevails. Thus, seeing his mother becoming tired, the Lord gave up his own stubbornness, and his mercy allowed him to be tied. And now comes an important paragraph. So listen carefully. Krishna's mercy is the king of all shaktis, illuminating all else. Krishna's mercy melts the heart of the Lord as if it were butter. Mercy's appearance made the satya sankalpa and vibhuta shaktis suddenly disappear. Now what we heard before, the paragraph continues, but just for sake of reference. When she was trying to bind him, the acharyas say the first piece of rope was, by its own accord, 2 fingers too short. When she got additional rope and tried to tie, the rope was still 2 fingers too short because of these two shaktis of Krishna. One, his vibhuta shakti. Vibhuta, same as vibhuti, opulence. 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita, opulence of the absolute, or vibhuti yoga. So there's many other besides these opulences, but some of the opulences of Krishna are called under the category of vibhuta shakti, and that vibhuta shakti was launched or was released or was activated by another, a fundamental one, called Satya Sankalpa Shakti. Satya means truth, right? And Sankalpa means intention. Shakti is potency. So whenever Krishna intends, or very similar that we were discussing, Icha means desire. Sankalpa means intention. They're close in meaning. So when Krishna desires something or intends something, it happens. He doesn't have to, if we want to get up and walk across the room, we have to get up and walk across the room. But Krishna doesn't have to do anything. If he wants to lift Govardhan Hill, he doesn't have to lift Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill will just levitate. But he can do something by his own internal potencies. But the potencies are activated by his intentions. For us, so again, it's for us, it's not sufficient to have an intention. I want to get an A in my exam. Voila, I got an A in my exam. Pretty good. We have to do something. But Krishna doesn't have to do something because his shaktis, they carry it out. So this two fingers too short was these two potencies, Vibhuta Shakti and Satya Sankalpa Shakti. So now comes Mother Jasoda. She doesn't take no for an answer. She has to. She's compelled by her motherly affection. Even if it doesn't work, she's going to continue to be a mother because it's her mother, it's her nature. Krishna sees her continued effort. Here the word stubbornness is used, but it's not just like a stubborn effort. It's a devotion effort. So mercy's appearance made the Satya Sankalpa and Vibhuta Shaktis suddenly, he withdrew them, suddenly disappear in favor of the Kripa Shakti. Next sentence. The shortage of the two fingers was filled by effort, parishrama. There's a material parishrama and there's a spiritual parishrama, effort, and mercy. So the combination of effort and mercy. You want to be successful in bhakti? You have to make some effort. But effort alone isn't enough. You need mercy. And effort, mercy alone isn't going to just fall from the sky. Krishna wants to show his mercy to those who want his mercy. So they're expressing their eagerness for his mercy. That's the effort, parishrama. I'll just pause here for a moment and we'll come back to this paragraph. Trying to remember the context. Many times Prabhupada has expressed that material activity, I don't know Sanskrit, pa-pa-ba-ba-ma. Now what is that? That's a... Yeah, but what is those five are the dhatu for what?
No, consonants.
Ah. Do any of you know Sanskrit? Pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. Yes? So you've heard Prabhupada explain this? Material activity has these five. Parishrama is the first one. Intense endeavor. Parishrama. Pa, pa, pa. Foam in the mouth, like a horse, works very hard. Ba, fear. Pa.
But I mean, I've seen Prabhupada translate in two ways. Either there's a Vyarthata or Bandhan.
Bandhana, right. Bondage. Bandhana. Then bhaya is fear, bhaya. And ma is mrityu, death. Endeavor, foam in the mouth. Bondage, fear, death. Pa. Anyway, so parishrama is the first one, effort. So there's material effort and there's spiritual effort. What's the difference? The difference, a heavy thing has to do with intention. The sankalpa word again. If the intention is to please Krishna, then the Krishna connection is established. Like, you know, here's a microphone and a microphone stand. So it can be used with the intention that Krishna should be served and pleased, or it can be used in some different way than Krishna should be used and served and pleased. And if it's used in that way, like her violin, so there are people that play violin not for the pleasure of Krishna, those that play for the pleasure of Krishna. The intention behind makes the effort spiritual and material, and then the sound vibration spiritual and material, or the end result, one of bondage or one of liberation. Fruitive activity has everything to do with intention. Let me do something so I can get something so I can be the enjoyer. That's fruitive activity. And devotional activity is, let me do something so it can be offered to Krishna and Krishna can enjoy. Then it's liberating. Very simple principle. It's the consciousness behind the activity that is the target of the yoga system, or specifically even the bhakti system. So we're getting a very important lesson, about spiritual life. We to be successful in spiritual life, these two things are required, effort and mercy. Quite simple. Now read the next sentence. The effort and the fatigue due to service and worship, what Yasoda was doing, that is the steady faith of the devotee, bhakta nishta. There's this phrase again. We discussed, it was in commentary the other day, bhakta nishta and sva nishta. That so we have some, we need to have some faith, nishta, that by this activity, the parishrama, the playing violin for Krishna, or the cooking for Krishna, or the whatever it is for Krishna, coming and setting up all this electronic equipment for Krishna. The purpose is for Krishna service. So there's some faith, bhakta nishta. The effort and fatigue due to service and worship, parentheses, the steady faith of the devotee, bhakti nishta, plus the mercy of the Lord arising from seeing that effort and fatigue, parentheses, the steady quality of the Lord, sva nishta. It's like the sun shining. The sun just shines. It doesn't need us to do anything, and the sun will keep shining. We can go out in the sun, we can hide under a rock, and the sun's going to shine. There may be a cloud in the sky or no clouds in the sky, but the sun's going to shine. So similarly, Krishna is by nature merciful. Svat nishta. And when he sees that the devotee has bhakti nishta, or is making effort to please him, he doesn't necessarily immediately bestow extra mercy, but he may. And in the case with Mother Yasoda, he withdrew his Satya Sankalpa Shakti and his Vibhuta Shakti, and he extended instead his Kripa Shakti. He did that because he saw the effort that she was making the devoted effort, not just effort. So it's a very interesting section. These two caused the Lord to be bound. As long as these are not there, these two, the rope remains two fingers too short. When these two are there, the Lord is bound. The Lord himself showed to his mother how only love can bind him. That is what this pastime illustrates. So you could say it's the two fingers too short symbolizes or represents these two things, effort and mercy, or bhakta nishta and swanishta. So we're going to hear something quite similar from Jiva Goswami, but it's really very nice, nicely expressed by Vishwanath. Jiva Goswami writes, Krishna, who performs pastimes to attract all minds, by mercy, agreed to be bound. Seeing his own mother, Sva, so she's Swamatra, his own mother with great affection for her with great affection for her that he had for himself, these pronouns are strange. He became merciful, unable to tolerate seeing her suffer, and accepted to be bound up, though it was difficult. The word matuhu, his sva matuhu, of his mother, indicates the main reason, that is, her motherly affection. Giving up his nature of infantile stubbornness, he became bound just by a second piece of rope, since his vibhuta shakti lost hostility to being tied by the rope when he became fixed on being merciful. No other rope was needed. She had become tired because she had to deal with a child strong as a young elephant and had to search for rope. And Sanatan Goswami writes, Krishna, who performs pastimes to attract all minds, by mercy agreed to be bound. Seeing his own mother with great affection, similar language, with great affection for her than he had, greater affection for her than he had for himself. There we go. Seeing his own mother with greater affection for her than he had for himself, he became merciful, unable to tolerate seeing her suffer, and accepted to be bound up, though it was difficult. Sva indicates she had stronger affection than Devaki for Krishna as her son. Not Rohini, but Devaki. This is chapter 9. In chapter 8, there's this whole big thing about the position of, it's the childhood pastimes of Krishna, that's the title of the chapter. And there's a whole comparison between the affection of Yashoda and Nanda compared to Devaki and Vasudev. It's a long discussion, but in short, Vasudev and Devaki, two things. They did not have the opportunity to experience Krishna's childhood pastimes, because from the very night that he was born, he was gone. And he didn't come back for 12 years. When he came back, after killing Kamsa and freed them from the prison of Kamsa, he and Balaram said, we're so bad. We're afraid of Kamsa. And because we were afraid of Kamsa, we stayed away for 12 years. And so you didn't get to experience our childhood and babyhood pastimes or activities. So they're less fortunate than Nanda and Yashoda. because they didn't experience those all these wonderful pastimes. But second is their love was a blend of understanding his opulence as the personality of Godhead and the feelings of parental affection, mother-father, towards child. He showed his forearm form. They offer prayers indicating everything that what that means. Lord, he's Lord Vishnu. They knew it. And at the same time, they had this affection of Vatsalya Rasa. So it was a weaker Vatsalya Rasa, in one sense, strengthened because of the presence of majesty. So majesty has a tendency to weaken familiarity. And the other way around, familiarity has a tendency to eclipse majesty. And that's Nandanjasoda. So Krishna was with Yashoda because of the strength of her love. The strength of her love was superior to that of even Devaki. That's the point. The residents of Vrindavan have a very special love for him, and he has a very special love for them because of their special love for him. It's natural. So one more. On seeing her great endeavor, seeing her perspire, and being pained by her efforts, out of mercy, he allowed himself to be tied up by his mother. The garland had fallen from her hair and was strewn about. Both her hair and garland were in disarray. And one more reference, two more actually. This is Yashoda wanted to tie him up because he was her son, since she should not ignore teaching him a lesson, as she could with other boys. So it's Sva. It's her son. There's this language that our acharyas use that's over and over again repeated, so it's got to be important. They use this word possessiveness. Not in the material sense of possessiveness, but Krishna is mine in the spiritual sense. That is, they don't have attachment to other possessions. We'll say it negatively. If you have attachment to other possessions, your sense of possessiveness towards Krishna is not the same. Say it positively. If you have a strong sense of possessiveness towards Krishna, then there's a detachment of the sense of possessiveness towards other things. Let's just say the house is on fire. And the father of his child will risk his life because more valuable than his own life is the safety of his child. He'll enter the burning house and rescue his child. Maybe perish. Maybe he wasn't a good move. But that sense of possessiveness is very strong. When that sense of possessiveness moves to the spiritual dimension, material attachments pale. A nice example in this Damodar Leela described by our acharyas. When Mother Jasoda was breastfeeding Krishna, and over there she saw the milk boiling on the stove, boiling over, she had a sense of the value of the milk. We had this little discussion. Don't cry over spilt milk. You've heard that expression, correct? Don't cry over spilt milk. Yes, no? No, not yes. You're nodding. Okay, thank you. So, why? Because it's something you value. Now, Mother Jasoda, she's the queen of the king. And the king, Nanda, has 900,000 cows. But for the cow herds, their wealth is milk. Though it's gold for some people, for the cow herds, it's milk. And because Krishna was going and stealing butter and yogurt and things from the storerooms of the other cowherds, she was considering maybe the people who are assisting to make the butter, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to do it properly. So I'll make it. Because she's expert, really expert. So part of the expertise, we heard in the beginning of this chapter, there were 7 or 8 cows that were very special cows of the 900,000. And she knew which ones they were. And she knew which grasses to feed to which cows to make what flavor of milk. So she fed the grass to the special cows. She milked those special cows. And so it was very valuable. That was for Krishna. So the value is because it's for Krishna. So when she saw the milk boiling over, it's not just crying over spilled milk like somebody that's attached to something material. It's wealth that's meant for Krishna. When you have something that you know is very dear to someone who is very dear to you, you value that thing even more than something that you value. Isn't it? I'll just relate a little personal experience. Twice, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, one of our sannyasis in ISKCON, he really likes Vrindavan, and he really likes taking photography, both moving pictures and still pictures, of Vrindavan, you know, the deities and the temples and etc. So he contacted me and said, when you're coming to Mayapur, could you purchase on eBay, it's like a fourth of the cost as it costs here in South Africa, some certain lenses? I said, sure. He said, here, great, so here's how you find it. So twice, I'm carrying lenses for Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. You know, I have some idea what they cost, but it wasn't the dollar value of the lenses. It was some service for Bhakti Chaitanya Swami that he's going to be used in Krishna's service to glorify Krishna's holy bow, Dham, in Vrindavan. So I could have lost my suitcase, I could have lost my passport, I could have lost my head, but I wasn't going to lose those camera lenses. And when I finally got to see him and could pass them on to him, it was like, mission accomplished. And it meant more to me than any, you know, anything else that was going on, that I was bringing with me for other purposes to Vrindavan. Twice. So when there's love, you value something, and you're attached to that something. So she was attached to the milk because it's for Krishna, not, you know, crying over spilt milk. It's very special milk for Krishna. So therefore she was attached. But she wasn't attached to other, you know, worldly things. She was not. Because of her attachment to Krishna. And because of her attachment to Krishna, Krishna felt it. And knew it. Of course, she's omniscient. And so he agreed to be bound because of the intensity of her love. So continuing the commentary, Krishna could not be brought under control if two elements, one, special intense prema of his devotee, and two, his special mercy arising because of that prema, were lacking. If you want to be successful, we want to be successful. We want to be successful in life. And the greatest success in life is to be spiritually successful, because following that spiritual successful, everything successful follows. Like a shadow follows the object that's casting the shadow. This world is the shadow of reality. And the shadow follows the object that's casting the shadow. They'll become spiritually successful, and the shadow is successful. Try to adjust the shadow without addressing the object that's casting the shadow. It's not going to work. It doesn't work. Okay, so when Krishna saw, seeing her fatigue, he agreed to be tied up. He was bound by her affection. In Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha, he writes many of the same things, but though one is situated in prema, one cannot control the Lord if there is a deficiency in the Lord's special mercy. And if he sees a deficiency in the special longing of the devotee. I'll read it again. It's important. Although one may be situated in prema, this is really important, so I'm going to pause until we get focused. It's a short sentence. Although one may be situated in prema, one cannot control the Lord if there is deficiency in the Lord's special mercy, and if he sees a deficiency in the special longing of the devotee. These two became present. This is indicated in the second line. And finally, we're going to read this topic from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. You know what is Brihat Bhagavatamrita? Yes? Sanatana Goswami, yes? Okay, good. So here's the verse and then Sanatana Goswami's commentary. The verse reads, same section, because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers were falling from the braids of her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. That's the verse. Here is Sanatana Goswami's commentary. This verse and the next verse, it's at 18 and 20, glorify Mother Yashoda, who is more advanced in Krishna consciousness than even Nanda Maharaj. Huh. One morning, she wanted to churn butter herself for her son Krishna, who is very fond of fresh butter. With great love in her heart, she set about the laborious task of churning from the previous day's yogurt. Just then, however, Krishna rose from his sleep and demanded her breast milk. She began to feed him while continuing to churn. But he again interfered by grabbing the churning rod. And then she noticed that the milk she had put on the stove was boiling over. So, although Krishna had not finished drinking, she quickly put him aside to run to the kitchen. When she came back, after a moment, she found that the churning pot had a hole in its bottom, obviously made by her, by the nearby grinding stone, and Krishna had disappeared. She looked around and found him inside the house, and as she watched unseen from the corridor, she saw him sitting on a large upturned mortar, stealing butter and feeding it to the young monkeys. She picked up a stick and came up to him from behind, but he ran away, making her chase him around before she finally caught up to him. Seizing her crying son, she scolded him sharply, but then, not wanting to frighten him too much, she threw the stick away. Still, she wanted to do the right thing for his benefit, so she decided to punish him by tying him up. She tied a rope around his waist. But, as people know throughout the world, the rope was too short by just two finger widths. She tried tying together all the rope she could find in the house, but still, the rope remained short by the same length. Seeing this astonished her. Finally, Krishna, choosing to reward his mother for her strenuous devotional effort, agreed to let her bind him. Although Krishna's all-spiritual body is beyond the limitations of time and space, and the individuality of objects, he responded mercifully to the strenuous labor of his mother. He cannot be bound by anyone, but in his exceptional mercy, he allowed himself to be tied. Taking the alternative reading of Swamatahu, which is his own mother, instead of Sa-matahu, we get the idea that Yashoda is eternally established. Eternally established. She doesn't become. She's eternally established in this intimate relationship with him, and so she certainly deserves his special mercy. When she tried to bind him, Krishna submitted to her effort because of her exalted love, which was evident externally by the perspiration on her limbs and by the falling of the flowers from her hair. So we all know the pastime. I mean, I'm assuming we all know the pastime. Yes. We've been spending how many hours? 30 hours? More? 42 hours? Just to get to verse number 19. And it's not over yet. Just to give you some idea. This chapter, to cover 42 hours, we've read 80 pages, and there's another 140 pages of commentary. You know, so there's a lot to understand. And my experience of hearing it and reading it and discussing it, and I wake up in the morning thinking of Damodar. Thinking of the pastime. This morning I woke up, I don't know why, seeing the form of Jagannath. The nature of, even if we don't understand everything, those 42 hours worth of going through the length and breadth of the pastime, the details and the explanation behind the pastime, just the sound vibration itself is spiritual. It's associating with Krishna through sound. And we don't have eligibility to associate with him in Krishna Loka, but we can associate with him in Krishna Loka through sound, or through his manifest pastimes when he appears in this world. So people in this world, specifically, so people in this world can become attracted to him. And if we weren't around during the time of Krishna's pastimes, then so many years later, we say 5,000 years later, but 5,000 plus, we can still associate with him through sound. And there's a purifying effect. And through that purifying effect, then gradually we can start to understand that which is difficult to understand. Transcendence, this is part of what we've been discussing, transcendence cannot be understood through the mind or senses. There's these three main ways of knowing things. Through the senses, pratyaksha, through the mind, through reason. You perceive something, you interpret it this way, that way. That's the function of the mind, one of the functions. And then just hearing, shabda, shabda praman, pratyaksha praman, the evidence through seeing, as they say, seeing is believing. Whereas one of the atheist scientists says, where's the proof? Show me the proof. Where's the evidence? Where's God? Show me. Transcendence is not accessible through the senses. It's not accessible through the mind. Then how is it accessible? Through sound. Prabhupada gives this example. Just from chapter 7, Bhagavad Gita. I've been listening to his discussions in chapter 7 of late. Here's a microphone, Prabhupada would say, and I'm speaking, and the microphone is picking up the sound vibration that's being recorded somewhere. So later someone isn't sitting in the room with us hearing me speaking, but they hear the recording, and this recording is making the exact replica of my speaking. So the speaking isn't me, but it's me speaking. So one can receive that message. That's my energy, that sound vibration, that's connected to me. So Shabda Brahman is the same. I mean, you're using that example to say, scripture, these topics about the Damodar pastime, it's the sound representation of Krishna coming through Shukadeva Goswami and from him through disciplic succession. So we're in Krishna's association by hearing. And he's revealing truths about himself and about the bhakti process. What we're going to hear tomorrow morning, sneak preview because you won't be with us in the morning. It's not that one of the qualities of Krishna, outstanding qualities of Krishna, is he likes to be controlled by the love of his devotees. But the specific point is he's not controlled by the devotee. He's controlled by the love of the devotee. It's really nice. Because the love of the devotee, that's bhakti. And bhakti Devi is an expansion of Radharani. He likes being controlled by Radharani. But it's not the person, it's the love of the person. And our being connected to bhakti, or bhakti Devi, is by the mercy of Radharani, and the representatives of Radharani. So in Krishna's pastimes, just focus a little bit and end on what's being said here. Even if one is in the stage of prema, we're not. Even if one comes to the stage of prema, There's the eagerness or the strength of our effort to be connected to Krishna. Supposing we're complacent a little bit. Complacent. I'm okay, everything's okay. I mean, it's not everything's okay, but, you know, it's reasonably okay. Complacency is easy. Sometimes we stop being complacent when things get really tough. Like somebody pinches and it goes, ouch, it hurts. Somebody says something mean or something terrible happens and we get, you know, more intense about our shelter taking and praying and calling. I'm getting a number of messages from devotees whose parents in India contract COVID. I mean, like, there's a number of them, you know, older generation people, and it's going around, and they're more vulnerable, and something happens, and, you know, they get really intense in terms of their prayer and their extra chanting and their, you know, thising and thatting. And it doesn't always bring about the person comes out of that infected condition. Anyway, you know very well. Hardship intensifies the otherwise what might be complacent mood. So what Krishna wants is not just give you hardship so you get more intense. He wants to see love, not cause and effect kind of love, but love. And when that love is there, then the mercy will be correspondingly extended. It's a really simple principle. You know, even in material affairs, if someone wants to do really well, I'll pick on Radha because she doesn't mind my picking on her. She's musically inclined. So she's learning to play violin and she's learning to play piano along with other things that she's learning. So if you're going to become good at piano or violin or anything, you have to exert some effort. Do you want to do well at your career or you're preparing for your career in college or you want to do well at anything? You have to make some effort. But effort alone isn't enough. And in bhakti life, it's not even just effort. Like karta aham, I'm the doer. That's not so pleasing. It's the consideration that here's something I want to offer to Krishna. It's exactly the Mother Jasoda example. It wasn't happening. She was very determined. And Krishna saw that determination. It was resulting in her being fatigued and perspiring. She wasn't going to stop. One could say, you know, she was obsessive compulsive or something. She just wouldn't stop. But it was out of love. It wasn't just an effort. It was an effort out of love. And with that, Krishna reciprocated with some special mercy, that which was otherwise cannot be done. That's the lesson we just read. That's the lesson. I mean, there's many lessons, but that's the main lesson of all. Seeing the effort that we make, not just so I can achieve something, so I can become an advanced devotee, or I can be successful in life or something. I mean, those things, we had some discussions about mixed devotion. Mixed, praying to God for something. It's natural. As we're living our life praying to God for something, it's really good to have an aspiration to come to the position where we don't want something for ourselves, we want everything for Krishna. To come to that stage of love. That's the Bhagavatam wants to take us there. Our acharyas, through the medium of the Srimad Bhagavatam, want to take us there. Krishna wants to take us there. This pastime with Mother Jasoda and binding with the rope has at its very heart that message. It's not like the other ladies. They didn't love Krishna. They're Brijbasis. They're eternal associates of Krishna. But the love of Mother Jasoda is very special. And so we look up to her. Especially those, well, Shukadeva Goswami. What's Shukadeva Goswami's rasa with Krishna? You familiar with rasa? Topic of rasa? Rasa? Previously he was an impersonalist, or he was in Brahman realization. But he has the relationship with Krishna of dasya, of a servant. And he has so much appreciation for the cowherd boys, for Mother Jasoda, for the gopis. At different times, he just like bursts into some spontaneous expression of how fortunate are these devotees. So we may not be a eternally situated in parental affection for Krishna. Maybe. But even if not, appreciating the strength and the quality of her love. Very special personality. And we can learn, for us to become successful, last, some sincere effort with the purpose of pleasing Krishna, parishrama with bhakti, and eager to receive the mercy of Krishna through the medium of that loving service. Let Krishna recognize and be pleased by that service. And just his smile or his acknowledgement is heart-melting. Okay, so let's see if there's some discussion. This topic or any topic. Radha gets the microphone first. She's very enthusiastic. But the rest of you can be thinking about some topics you may like to ask.
Sometimes you really pray about something that you really want Krishna to help you to do, but then he doesn't do it. So then, isn't that contradicting his mercy?
No.
And why does Krishna do that if you pray so sincerely?
He's not our order supplier. That's not the relationship. He's a clerk. Back there, he's got a big warehouse. And we come with our little slip and we say, please give me this and that. And the clerk doesn't give what's in the warehouse. It's not what a relationship of loving service is with Krishna. He's our order supplier. We can appeal to him to help us achieve something that's meant for his service. But he's not our order supplier. That's not the medium of loving service. It's not that he's being, you know, his mercy is being withheld because he doesn't supply what we're asking of him. We have to become qualified, and he may, when we're qualified, see that some particular feature of service is crowned with success. Today, I was somebody recommended that I view the memories video of Tamal Krishnamaraj with Prabhupada, and this was one of the points he was making about Prabhupada. When he understood that something was what Krishna wanted, in some cases it was just super soul inspired, or because his spiritual master instructed him such something, he never wavered. Even if it wasn't happening, even if it was difficult, even whatever. So the determination to achieve something is not to make Krishna our order supplier to achieve that something. There's a higher purpose, and it's Krishna's pleasure, and we stay with it. And it may turn out differently than we were thinking that it would turn out. But he's the master and we're the servant, and that doesn't change. And his being the master and our being the servant doesn't mean he's withholding mercy. To accept our service, that's his mercy.
Thank you.
Okay. Wait, we're gonna, because there are people online, we want them to hear.
In Dasyaras, we say, I am yours, Krishna. Or in Vatsal, we say, you are mine. So, which is, are both are on equal level, or one is better? Or
I'd like to correct the preamble of your statement, the premise of your statement. Those who are situated in pure devotion, there's both the I and mind conception. There's the material I and mind, and there's the spiritual I and mind. So in Dasya Rasa, there's a spiritual I and mind. The servant is thinking, you are mine. In the sense, not in the ownership sense, but in, you are my master, because I'm the servant and you are my master. In the friendship, I am yours and you are my friend. In other words, in Vrindavan, all the rasas have that possessiveness. It's singular and very focused. And because of that, there isn't any other master, there isn't any other equal friend, there isn't anyone. They have affection for the other children, but even the parents have affection for Krishna more than for their own children, that sense of possessiveness. And I am yours, from the parents' side, is they're pouring their affection and their service always upon Krishna. So all the rasas have this possessiveness, is my point. Now, does that address your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Others?
One question.
Yeah.
There are always...
Speak into the microphone.
Oh, there are always two things, like effort and mercy.
Yes.
But when we say causeless mercy...
But when is causeless mercy?
Yeah.
When you get an honorary degree from Oxford University.
Okay.
That's causeless mercy. So Krishna may bestow causeless mercy without any cause. He just... The sun will shine regardless of whether we want the sun to shine or not. Oh, I'm very eager for the sun to shine. The sun will shine. Whether eager for Krishna's mercy or not, Krishna is merciful by nature. Now, why is he being merciful? Because it's his nature. It's causeless mercy. Like the sun shining, Krishna's causeless mercy is part of his quality. There's nothing prompting it. It's just part of his nature. Radha, wait, you're going to get... Others in the room here? Especially our host and who all the rest of you are who were visiting the home of? Okay.
We always hear that Krishna is equal to everyone.
Krishna is equal to everyone, and he's special to his devotee. Samaham sarvabhuteshu.
Why is that?
We discussed this at length, but I'll give you a mini summary. There are two really simple ways of looking at this. One of them is, when Krishna shows special mercy to the devotee, he's being equal to the devotee. Because the devotee is wanting intimacy. Whereas, let's say the demon is wanting competition. So Kamsa is looking at Krishna, I want to kill him. I want to kill him. He's my enemy. or Hiranyakashipu or Ravana, I want to kill him. He's my enemy. So Krishna's saying, okay, I can be your enemy. And then he gives liberation. To the devotee, I want your affection, I want your service. Okay, here I am, and I give you liberation. Externally, it looks like partiality. Externally, it looked like partiality, but he's equal to everyone. And he's just reciprocating, yayatam mam prapadyante. You know the verse.
Yeah.
So as they have regard for me, then he reciprocates accordingly. So it looks like for the devotee, because they have affection, oh, he's partial. But he's just reciprocating with their regard for him. Then there's another explanation that I think you'll like. In his paramatma feature, he's overseeing prakriti, material nature. So as paramatma, he's equal. And as Bhagavan feature, he's partial. You follow? And he shows his Bhagavan feature to those who are his devotees. He doesn't show or reveal his Bhagavan feature to those who are not. He remains concealed. And he says that in Bhagavad Gita. I'm not obliged. Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. He doesn't show himself to those who are inimical. And he's not disdain towards them. He doesn't know dvesha towards them. He's just, they don't want, and so, okay. They want, okay. Bhagavan. So they can serve him. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, your wife has something further. Nothing? How about you two back there? Anything? No?
You okay. Made it very clear, Maharaj, today. When we call for Krishna in distress, that is...
You got to speak into the microphone. Thanks.
Yeah, like, as you cleared that, when we call in distress for Krishna, that is not out of love. So we have to call out of love.
Well, Mother Jasoda may call... Here's a nice example of Nanda Maharaj calling for Krishna out of distress. It doesn't mean that he's unclean, or he's anything less than a pure devotee. Isn't it a nice example? On Shivaratri Day, there's a big festival. So the residents of Vrindavan, the elders, got together and decided, let's go to that distant Lord Shiva temple and have a 3-day festival. So they went. And they did their rituals during the day. And then at night, they camped out. And you know the story. Nanda Maharaj was given a special place. The elders were in another place, and the boys were in another place because they could play and they wouldn't disturb anybody. So in the middle of the night came a python and started swallowing Nanda. And he called out, and the nearby elders woke up. And when they woke up, they saw what was going on, and they got sticks and started whacking the serpent. And some of them were burning sticks from the fire, and they were trying to burn this, and he kept swallowing Nanda. So what woke them up was when Nanda felt that he was being swallowed by the serpent, what did he do? He called for Krishna. Now he's the father calling for his son, but he remembered the words of Garga Muni, that your son will have powers like Narayan, which he will use to protect the residents of Vrindavan. So care for your son very nicely. He remembered those words, and he called out for his son. So calling out to Krishna doesn't necessarily mean, you're selfish. He's attached to Krishna. when Arishtasura came to town, you know, the gopis called out, Krishna, protect us. So, depends on the consciousness behind the activity. Krishna is our protector. That's part of one of the items of surrender. 6. Rakshishatiti Vishwaso. Raksha. Protection. Okay. If there's no one else out there, then we're going to go over here to Radha again.
2 questions.
You have 2 questions.
First question is in the context of Krishna's mercy is always present. Then why did we discuss about Krishna withdrawing the Vibhuti Shakti and then releasing the Kripa Shakti? Because Kripa Shakti is ever present. So
he gave an extra dose. By his Kripa Shakti, the other two were withdrawn.
Okay. Second question is regarding the efforts. So what I understood is efforts is translated to the eagerness to receive the mercy.
No. Effort is more than just eagerness to receive mercy. I can sit here in my chair saying, I'm eager to receive mercy. Mm-hmm. Practical activity. Senses, sense objects, activity. Practical activity.
So practical activities along with the eagerness to receive the mercy,
yes,
completes the effort.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, here you go, Radha. She writes her questions down in her phone. She has to go look them up.
How was the sons of the gopis feeling about their mother liking Krishna more than them?
How did the gopis feel about the gopas?
No. How did the gopas feel about the gopis liking Krishna more than them?
How did the gopas feel about the gopis liking Krishna more than themselves as gopas?
Yeah.
Oh, no problem. They have no problem with it. There's no envy. They love Krishna. They love Krishna amongst themselves. They love Krishna more than anything. And amongst the gopis, they love Krishna. They love Krishna and he loves them more than anything is fine. There's no envy. It's not a problem. No problema.
That's it.
Okay.
They're online.
We have online question.
So first question is from Radha's sister Vishakha.
Ha!
If I heard it correctly, Krishna was afraid of Kamsa. I think she was referring to...
Yes.
Speaking...
to Vasudeva. Yes.
So if Krishna is God, why was he afraid of Kamsa?
He was speaking like that because he wanted to inspire their affection.
Next question is from Amara Mataji. Hare Krishna Maharaj, is it enough to think that I am doing it for Guru and Krishna's pleasure, regardless of lack of understanding of real feeling?
We have to begin somewhere. That's a good place to begin.
Next question is from Shashireka Mataji. How do we get Guru's mercy if we don't get any opportunity to serve him?
Well, who doesn't have opportunity to serve Guru? So what does serving Guru mean? Serving Guru means there's instruction, you hear the instruction, you make sincere effort to carry out the instruction. That's service to Guru. Supposing you're in the kitchen and you're cooking. You can see that as not service to Guru, or you can see that as service to Guru. That's a consciousness factor, it's not a physical proximity factor. That's service to Guru, is the instructions.
So I think you already answered the next part of the question.
Okay, so
in other words, what are other ways to get Guru's mercy?
Okay.
Only sincerity on the path of devotional service alone can help to get Guru's mercy? I think it is framed in a question form. Is it that only sincerity on the path of devotional service alone can help get Guru's mercy? And there is an addition, following Guru's instructions can help us to get Guru's mercy, I think.
Okay, it's
repeating.
It's part of the same package. I guess carry on.
That's how it ends.
Okay. Any last time around?
How about over here? You two behind the wall. Anything? Okay.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki? Jai. Jai.